May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Is anyone here familiar with the work of Belinda Carlisle? Some of you are. You may know her as the pop singer and songwriter of the 1980s. But she also wrote some pretty interesting things that touch on what Christian theologians call eschatology, the study of the last things. You don't need to remember the vocab word. Eschatology means thinking about exactly what we mean when we say, in the Nicene Creed, that we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And in many ways, what she wrote really resonates with our first two readings today, which are two of my favorite passages in the Bible. Beautiful words for All Saints' Day, these visions that Isaiah and John the Divine have of a new heavens and a new earth. You may not know that she wrote such theological works, but I think you actually know what she said. Her reflection on life in the New Jerusalem begins like this. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. That isn't even really a joke. The lyrics of this song are deeply theological. They say in heaven, love comes first, she says. Well, that's certainly true. We'll make heaven a place on earth, she goes on, which I think is supposed to be a romantic thing, but it actually works really well as a statement of Christian ethics. What are we called to do to make heaven a place on earth? And then she really gives us a keen insight in the bridge. In this world, we're just beginning to understand the miracle of living. Belinda, that'll preach. Now, I don't know if Belinda Carlisle is or was a woman of faith. The nature of the music video implies that she might have something more earthy in mind with this metaphor. Also, there are a lot of people dancing around with globes. It's the 80s. Never mind. But I have to say, if Belinda Carlisle's heaven is a place on earth is over on one side of a spectrum of thought about the life of the world to come, and the most common ideas of what heaven means in our culture are over on the other end, then you might find, strangely enough, that the view you find in these two readings from Isaiah and from the book of Revelation are a lot closer to Miss Carlisle's thought than you might think. Both the prophet Isaiah, writing in the 8th century BC or so, and the seer John the Divine in the 1st century after Christ, envision the world to come not as one in which we leave this world behind and go away to be with God somewhere else, but one in which God comes down to be on earth with us. Isaiah sees God coming to the people on this mountain, on Mount Zion in Jerusalem itself. The Lord of hosts will host a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines. The good things of this world aren't left behind in Isaiah's vision of the next. They're embraced and enhanced and multiplied. But the hard things of the world are wiped away. The shroud cast over us is destroyed. The sheet spread over us removed. God swallows up death itself and wipes away the tears from our faces. In the book of Revelation, John picks up that same thread. He sees a new heaven and a new earth, a holy city coming down out of heaven to overlap with this world. John sees God dwelling with us as God's people and wiping every tear from our eyes. For see, the home of God is among mortals. That's very different from the way we tend to think and talk about heaven as a subject, even in the church in 2024. When we think about the life of the world to come, when we reflect on what happens after death, we tend to talk about how somebody has gone away to be with God in their eternal home, perhaps, in what is, hopefully, the good place. But wait, Revelation seems to say, it's not so much that our true home is out there somewhere else with God, but that God's home is with us. The world to come will be a better place, not because we've left this world behind, but because God has transformed this world into something that's the same but different. a world that's enriched and enhanced by the presence of a holy and a living and a loving God. In other words, ooh, heaven is a place on earth. And what we think of as heaven, the place where the souls of all the departed rest in the hands of a loving God, is exactly that, a resting place, a stop along the way on a journey that begins on this earth and will end on this earth again in the resurrection of the dead, where we will all rise and live together here, which, depending on your opinion of the harp, might be even better than our cultural view. I don't know what's happening in your soul in particular this All Saints Sunday. Perhaps you're here mourning the loss of someone in your life who's died very recently or long ago, human or animal, friend or family. Perhaps one or two of the names in our prayers today, prayers said silently or out loud, will make you choke up, and you won't be able to say the response because that pain is still there. And I have to admit, that might be the case for me, too. Or maybe hearing one of those names will fill your heart with gratitude for a life well lived and remind you of the love that they had for you. Maybe both. But there's a reason that we pause together once a year to remember those who have died and to say these prayers. Perhaps you're here in a very different way, rather anxious about the election process that's already simmering along and will reach full boil on Tuesday, and hopefully, by the grace of God, will not boil over in the next few weeks. Perhaps it's one outcome or the other that keeps you up at night. Perhaps it's concern about American democracy itself. Perhaps it's the estrangement that our current political life has caused in your own life from other people with whom you can simply no longer speak without becoming enraged. And there's a reason, too, that we pause together, not once every 4 years, but every year, to hear these words from long ago about a holy city coming down to us from God. Perhaps this morning you're simply enjoying your life in this world on a beautiful fall day, and you don't want to think about leaving it behind. Perhaps you love your family and your friends, your work, your life. Perhaps you don't. Maybe things aren't so good. Maybe your body hurts, you're sick, or you're tired. Maybe there's one or two of you who wouldn't mind having a few tears wiped away from your eyes. That doesn't sound so bad. And not to repeat myself too much, there's a reason that we pause every year on this Sunday to remember that the life of the world to come is a life like this one, but enhanced, with the goodness deepened and the sorrows wiped away. The strange thing about Christian faith is the belief that when God raised Jesus from the dead, it wasn't the end of the story of the resurrection. It was only the beginning. The belief that the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Day is just the first in a series of resurrections that will take place sometime in the future, that we live now with a promise that has not yet been fulfilled, that one day we will rise like Jesus raised Lazarus and live together again. The strange Christian hope is that we will one day live in a world where death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And there's good news there this All Saints Sunday, but there's also a challenge and an invitation for us all. The good news, I think, is relatively self-explanatory. The challenge might be less obvious, so let me say something about that. I will never forget an afternoon workshop that I once spent sitting in the undercroft beneath the chapel of the Society of St. John the Evangelist, which, for those who don't know, is an order of Episcopal monks just up the river in Cambridge on Mem Drive from here. It was a workshop on community in all its beauty and complexity. And monks know a thing or two about community, having given their life to living in a group of people to whom they have no bonds of family or friendship, only this common vocation. I think it was Brother Curtis Almquist and David Vryhoff two very dear men who have spent a long time living in close quarters with other monks who were giving this workshop. And during the Q&A, somebody described a conflict that they were having with someone. I can't remember the details of it. I can't remember if they were looking for advice or some kind of understanding. But I remember Curtis's response. He listened to them carefully and replied, He looked at them. He said, God loves you. God loves you so much. God wants to spend eternity with you and them together. If you're missing someone who you've lost this All Saints Day, the good news is that God wants to spend eternity with you and with them together. And if you're struggling to understand this All Saints Day, how anyone could possibly be voting differently from you, how someone could support someone who's so clearly the wrong choice for the high office of president, how someone could think things that are so different from the things that you might think, or if there's some other conflict or estrangement or need for forgiveness or pardon in your life, then that's the challenge. God wants to spend eternity with you and with them and with whoever that candidate is, together. Surely, we can't really believe that the political differences that divide us are worthy of consigning someone else to a place apart from the love of God. And so we're left with that challenging fact, right? That we are going to spend eternity together in that city that comes down out of heaven from God. We're going to have to find some way to live together then. We might as well start practicing now. And that's the invitation here, not just about political life, but about our lives in general. We hope that we will one day live in the presence of one another and of God. And so we can begin to live, even now, as if we are in that holy city to come. We can begin to live as if our lives are governed by compassion and love. We can participate in the process by which God is already making all things new. We can try to draw back the curtain over our lives and our worlds and reveal the presence of heaven already here, lying behind all things from the day that Jesus first walked the earth. Because, as it turns out, heaven will be, and heaven already is, a place on earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.